Hello, everyone. Wanted to pop in at the beginning of the episode real quick to let you know that starting in the new year, this show will have ads. We have moved to a new hosting site, and the ads will finally allow me to start paying Ron and Chuck for all that they do for the shows. So, like, $1 an episode. Also would like to let you know that if you are listening to the shows through the Comic Book Rundown feed, then starting in the new year, you may have to resubscribe to the show on a new feed, depending on the podcast app you are listening to it on. I have been trying to get the podcast apps to work with me, but they have me jumping through a bunch of different hoops. Spotify is the only one that was of any real help. So if the new year starts and the feed hasn't updated for you, go give us another search in your app and subscribe to the feed that is still putting out episodes. Thanks for listening. Now on with the show. Ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all maybe murderous sizes, welcome to Getting Franchised. I had nothing really. I was trying to think of something earlier, and
she is kind of child-sized. She's only like 5 feet tall.
She was. I'm your host, Joe. We're co-host Joe. I'm the one that did this introduction. And with me for this show, as always, is my good buddy, Chuck. Hi there, Chuck.
You know what? Can I ask you guys a question real quick? Do you like Huey Lewis in the news?
I mean, I did.
We'll get into it. Finish your introduction.
Yeah, there's Chuck. Obviously, you guys also heard with us is our good buddy, Ron, because we invited him for this episode.
All right, so Chuck, what the fuck did you have me watch, as Chuck would say?
I had you watch American Psycho and American Psycho 2, An American Girl Story, I believe was the other tagline to it.
Oh, is that like Little Dolls?
No, I can't, you know, honestly, would make sense. It has something attached to the end of it on the IMDb. I just forgot to write it down. We watched, arguably, in a vacuum, when I don't associate it with its fan base, one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
All American Girl. That's
what it's called. All American Girl. Yeah. So it's even closer to the actual dolls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the movie in a vacuum. Then we watched, apparently, the 2000... So, American Psycho was released in 2000. If you've never seen it, we'll give you a quick synopsis. It's the late 1980s. 27-year-old Wall Streeter, Patrick Bateman, travels amongst a closed network of proverbial beautiful people. That closed network, in only they are able to allow others like themselves in... feeling of supremacy, which we see a lot through this movie, which what I love about this movie, it's a movie that the more you watch it, the more shit you pick up on, because like now that you saw it once, now you know for things to look for, and it makes that a lot more enjoyable. Patrick has a routinized morning regimen to maintain his appearance and attractiveness and fitness. He like those in the network, are vain, narcissistic, egomaniacal, and competitive, always having to one up each other in the presentation of oneself. But he, unlike the others, realizes that for himself, all of these things mask to hide what is truly underneath. Someone/something inhuman in nature. In other words, he is comprised of a shell resembling of a human that contains only greed and disgust, greed in wanting what others may have, and disgust for those who do not meet his expectations for himself in not being the first or the best. That disgust ends up manifesting itself in wanting to rid the world of those people. Not seeing that them as people, but only as those characteristics that he wants to rid. This movie is one of my favorite movies because it really plays on the psyche of the yuppies of the 70s, an era of which fundamentally kind of gave us what we experience nowadays and Reaganomics. Yeah.
Yeah.
First impressions, how many times have you guys seen this
movie? This is my first time.
Zero. This is my first time as well.
So this is my second time, I think, watching it. I watched it maybe for the first time. It was during COVID, so a couple of years ago. And I've watched enough people talk about this movie that I knew the things to, like, look for.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. But I think Christian Bale does a really good job of playing a really insecure, like, jealous person.
Yeah.
Really, really well.
Christian Bale is a great actor. And I will admit, like, this role was... He was great in this role. Because he was able to basically envelop himself into a character that is literally
a psychopath.
Yeah. And,
but he played it to the nines. Like, and even in, like, his, the narration that he was doing, he sounds, excuse me, like somebody who is a psychopath. Like, he does it so well. Like, the narration over everything literally sounds like the way that somebody that's a super high sociopath, you know, would, like, be doing things. And I love that. It was fantastic.
He is so good at chameleoning what he needs to be in the situation that you don't realize it until his mental state starts to unravel itself. Like, towards the end of the movie, then he can't even keep his lies straight and he can't remember who he's supposed to be. Which I think is, like, really interesting and clever. Even where it's like, Jared Leto's character keeps calling him by the wrong name, and we think that it's just a mistake that, like, the Jared Leto's character, Paul Allen just doesn't give a shit and he thinks he's better than everybody and all this stuff. But as the movie progresses, there's a possibility that he actually told him that his name was whatever it was. Now there's so many fucking generic names.
But that's the thing, though. Did he, or is it one of those things where he, because the way I thought it, where I had assumed it was, he's like a nobody like everybody else in that business, because everybody is a nobody in that world. Nobody is special. Everybody can be interchanged to be somebody else unless you are legitimate friends with everybody, because his own lawyer had also called him the wrong name.
Yeah.
At the end of it. So, like, he is basically just, he doesn't realize, like, who he is. He himself is not understanding, like, he's so lost in the world that everybody, he's just, everybody's seeing him as somebody else constantly. Because even his lawyer was like, oh, Patrick Bateman, he's just a yuppie. He's nobody. He's pathetic. Whereas, actually, in reality, Patrick Bateman is a psychotic killer.
But was that in reality, or was that all in his head?
But that's the beauty of the movie, is we don't actually know if we're watching, what we're watching is actually real, or Bateman's,
because, okay, so also for a little
perception
bit of, this,
of what's happening,
I got the impression, like, at some point in time that he was actually just pretending to be Patrick Bateman, and that he was actually the dude that Alan kept calling him, but he was pretending to be Patrick Bateman, and nobody else had called on to it because it had happened, like they knew each other prior to him being in Wall Street, so he had assumed the identity of Patrick Bateman, but he wasn't actually Patrick Bateman. If that makes sense.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of the assumption that I had. But then also, Paul calls him by the wrong name in front of his fiance, and his fiance replies to him.
That is also true, yeah.
As, like, well, like, points out the fact that, why did he call you the wrong name? Like, so, but was that all even real as well? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think this is a really clever movie in that way.
It is.
That, like,
until
the more you watch it. Well,
we'll get into that. Yeah.
Yeah. If this was comic book rundown, the amount of memes that came from this movie, super crazy. Do you think so? Like, there was kind of leaning into parts of it where he's like extremely knowledgeable in the things that he likes. So, like, for instance, he loves Huey and Lewis in the News.
Yeah, oh, right? Yeah, he is absolutely autistic.
Oh, 100% crazy, like, serial killer autistic.
Serial killer levels of autism. That dude's been popping Tylenol since, like, 1965.
You're not wrong. He's been regimenting that shit into his brain. But there are things, so, like, that's the whole idea is, like, he listens to Huey Lewis in the News because it makes him feel normal, right? Like, that's when he's, like, walking through because he had a fitness class and he was late and people are talking to him. He's kind of ignoring him. He's listening to that new album or, like, the new tape or whatever that came out. And it's supposed to be, like, the balance for him, like, for him to feel, like, a normal and levelless. Yet it always seems to happen around when he's about to do something bad. So do you think that it's actually like the thing is supposed to keep him tame, or do you think it's this like weird trigger for him to slip?
Huey Lewis in the News actually has subconscious messaging in it telling you to kill people that
go back in time.
Now see, the going back in time is a metaphor for erasing the person that's bothering you.
Oh, I thought that was returning videotapes. Sorry, my bad.
This dude watches a lot of videotapes.
He watches a lot of videos. Yeah. Well, it was 1987, I think this was supposed to take place in.
So
like VHS rental was like huge because it was just kind of becoming a mainstream.
And I don't know if you guys noticed, but every time he was watching something on TV, it was porn.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Every time.
Well, it starts as porn. And then as it progresses, it gets more violent because he watches the last thing he watches, the Texas Chainsaw.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, which is what prompts him to buy the chainsaw.
I thought that was the first thing he watched because he was working out watching it. Well, crunches watching it.
Well, if you can call those crunches, I thought he was having some kind of seizure.
Yo, he was ripping those crunches crazy style. Dude, like, he could do 1,000 of them because he does, like, 17 in the time that I can do one.
Because it's not a real crunch. Like, a real crunch is, you know, coming down and then coming up like this. He's like...
More than I can do.
I mean, the fact that he doesn't knee himself in the nose, it's, like, fucking incredible.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. So when he's working, I mean, I guess you have to look at those scenes individually because when he's working out, he's watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. When he's making phone calls and doing business, he has porn on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I don't know if that's actually something we were like supposed to actually see and look into, or was it like purposely done that way, right? Like,
well, you could probably have like you have the porn on, you get the I don't know if it'd be intimidation or the
disdain maybe for whoever you're talking to. Like, you have so little care for them that you're, you know, watching people fuck in the background.
Well, you have that like, oh, hey, I'm important enough. I've got people fucking behind me and I'm talking on the phone to an important business person. So like I'm in the middle of something important. You know, people are making love around me. And
no, they were just taking the time. Making.
Well, sure, but what I'm saying is, there are people around me doing things that are very intimate, but I'm taking the time away from that to call you. That's how important you are to me,
Joey. I always forget how innocent Joey is. It's so cute when he talks about sex.
I'm trying to, you know what?
but also I think it's like a control.
Trying to say here, fuck off.
No, I get what you're saying, but I also think it's like a weird power control for him.
That's what I'm trying to say. See,
and it being that like I'm going to have this thing that is uncomfortable and taboo for people, and I'm going to just have it on the background like it's nothing.
Because it is America in the 80s. Yeah. Sex is very taboo, especially, I mean, still is today, but yeah.
I mean, it was taboo, but it was slowly becoming, like, it was starting, so the early to mid-90s, we have that kind of, like, big push of, like sexual revolution and being mainstream and talking about it to begin with. Young people were having sex and talking about it, and the AIDS crisis kind of starts to get under control at that point, so we're coming back into, like, being more free in that way. So, like, the idea of it in the 70s was, like, it's happening around us, we're just not talking about it. So he's, like, creating that, like, taboo power control, because he's like, it's nothing to me. This literally means nothing to me, and it's going to be on while I'm trying to make reservations for a restaurant. I think that's what he was doing. He was trying to make reservations.
Yeah, because he got laughed at, because,
Right.
Which, him getting laughed at, it's like, I want to make a reservation at 8:30. They're going to tell him no. They're not going to laugh at him.
Maybe the laughing was something else that was in his head. Chuck would specifically laugh at somebody. I can see Chuck answering the phone, and they're like, we need reservations for 8:30, and Chuck's just like, tonight? I can see Chuck laughing this person off the phone and off of a cliff.
Yeah, if I'm working for a really prestigious place that has that is known for being like crazy busy and all that shit, and I got that fucking asshole calling me and talking to me like that, I'm laughing in his fucking face. Okay. I don't give a shit. I'm booked out for 6 months. You can keep calling, buddy.
And the thing about this, Chuck even had 3 open tables, but he still laughed his ass off and told him no.
Sure.
You always keep 2 open tables. You always have 2 open tables. For if somebody important walks in that wants a table, you have to seat them. You always keep 2 open. Fuck that guy. That's what I'm saying. I'm laughing. He's going to murder me for sure at the end of my shift.
Oh, shit.
All right.
But I think this is a really good, clever movie. Now, I say that in a vacuum because the fan base for this movie puts it on a fucking pedestal.
Right.
That is like, it is a great movie. It's really good and it's really clever. I've never met anybody who says that this is their favorite movie of all time where I didn't immediately, Joey levels of watching the second one, roll my eyes. Because I'm just like, of course this is your fucking favorite movie. Now you're going to sit here and you're going to tell me how genius it is. Like, it's good.
It's not just that, but see, you got to understand that the people that this is their favorite movie of all time are also the people that think that Patrick Bateman is somebody to, like, idolize.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're like, they either want to be him or they want to fuck him.
Yep. They're like, look at this dude that's just in control of everything, and nobody even realizes that he's murdering everybody around him, and like, he's just doing whatever he wants to do, and it's just, I don't know. I know what you're talking about because, I've met people that that dude was like, on top of things, man. It's like,
And there's definitely been times where people will hype up a movie. And when they keep hyping it up, it turns me off from watching the movie. This was one of them for a while where it's like, this was always a movie that's been on my radar. And I'm like, I just never had time. But there are certain people like that who were like, hey, this is a great movie. You need to watch it. Yeah, I'll get to it. And then when they keep bugging me to watch it, I'm good.
That's how I feel about Breaking Bad. Like, I don't want to watch that at all because people have hyped it up so much. Plus, it's like 10 seasons, and I just don't have time to watch 10 seasons of anything.
It's actually 5 or 6.
It's a lot of seasons, is all I'm saying. And it's actually not. And I already know what happens, so it's like...
That's fair.
Yeah. But I get, like, but that's how I feel. Like, I feel the same way. Like, when people overhype things to me too much, it's just like, I'm not... Now I don't really feel like watching that at all, or I don't
It depends on the person. It really does. Like, obviously... Like you three,
it's both of my personalities. It's fine. But right now, I don't have a beard, but when I have a beard,
any of you two, tell me something, I would put it on a actual higher chance to actually watch it versus somebody at work whose opinion I would listen to, but because I don't really, I'm not going to say that their taste in movies or TV shows are good. They're definitely not as, they're not my usual.
They're not on the same style. Taste pattern as yours.
Right.
Yeah.
So I definitely would like, I'll check it out, but it's not going to be something I immediately go and watch.
Sure. It's like somebody who likes mushrooms and mustard, you know, recommending food to you. You're not really sure that they have the right taste buds for that.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
No, I don't like that. No, I don't like that. But the, I got to have something else in there. Yeah, I think that this movie, it is super clever. It's a movie that you can go back and rewatch and you can discover new things. And it's the right type of horror in that it is unsettling.
Well, that's because this is psychological thriller horror.
Yes, very, very true. It has a level of like, you know that he's a bad person and you know the bad thing's coming, but you just don't really know how he's going to do it. And sometimes he is unsuccessful. Right? Like, he doesn't kill his like, secretary, his, like, administrative assistant.
Thankfully, because she was just her. A sweet, adorable, wonderful person.
I mean, she was ready to have an affair. Granted, they were all having affairs and things
like that. Yeah, that was just a normal thing for Wall Street in the 80s, or probably now.
Still, yeah.
You know?
And now still. Yeah,
it still happened.
The thing is, she...
What she was in love with him. She was absolutely in love with him, like, to stupid levels. Well, yeah,
but she also... She asked him if he was single... But she also was like aware that he was with Everlyn, so
and that they were like going. I mean, granted, he seems like a guy who would not talk about his personal life,
which is
but
fine.
I feel like well, I feel like well, she not would have shown up to his job,
correct? But she still, the secretary still knew they were together.
Sure, but also you got to see it from her perspective. She's a normal person. She's not one of the higher ups in or the elites, you know, in Wall Street. So she sees them arguing and fighting constantly. I guarantee it. She hears the way that he talks to her when she comes into the office and talks to him and stuff.
See, I don't think he allows her to come into the office. There.
But also when he's talking to her on the phone, I guarantee.
Yeah, but he kind of talks like everybody like that on the phone. Exactly. I think that she doesn't know because even when he has her make reservations, he won't say who he's going with because exactly. she even asked
is it
him,
romantic or and he's like oh, I'll just romantic? Take care of it myself
yeah I'll just take care of it. Immediately shuts it down right so I think he does I think he tries his best to keep her out of their kind of
because thing. The one when he does it himself it's with the other girl the one that he's having the affair with and then yes. he makes the other reservation with Paul Allen and then like so he's doing it behind her. I say behind her back, but it's, you know, it's with like the one time where he actually does, she has him make the reservation or he has her make the reservation is with the cop with Willem Dafoe's character, which I had no idea he was in this movie. That's the one thing that was surprising.
So this was actually his first case before he got into the Boondock Saints. and then that was what elevated his career into the FBI.
I mean, so like there is a weird Reddit thread that tries to tie Patrick Bateman into actually being Batman, but the idea that Willem Dafoe actually becomes like his character in Boondock Saints is an interesting theory. I like it even better if there's a weird tie in that they push him into how he becomes the Green Goblin in that way.
I mean, after being in the psyche of somebody like Patrick Bateman, you know, like.
It could work. It makes sense. Yeah.
But yeah, any others on the good movie we watched?
I'll say every time I saw, Josh Lucas, which was one of the friends of Bateman's, and Reese Witherspoon, which I know they never really interacted in this movie, but they were in this movie together, and I saw them in this, and I just thought of Sweet Home Alabama, because they're in that movie together.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. Which came out 2 years later.
Oh, that's weird. Forgot about that movie.
It's a fun movie. It's a fun little.
It's a classic. Yeah, it's a classic. Little. Yeah. Also, the guy who plays the gay dude, what the hell's his name?
That would be Matt Ross.
He looks so fucking familiar, but I
I
cannot put my finger on where I know him
right,
from.
I looked him up and there was nothing in his IMDb that I could.
Yeah.
Well, he was on he was in Face Off, and I think he might have been one of the doctors.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
That's
But
not, that's, I mean, I love that movie, but I don't think it's that.
Loomis, I don't know, like, but no, other
Yeah.
than that, 12 Monkeys, Party of Five, he was in one episode.
Interesting.
Yeah, nothing else. Like, I can't. Rose Red,
It looks like he
that's
was in a
TV
lot of
miniseries.
like maybe not B movies, but like definitely not like A-list
He was in Last
movies.
Holiday. Did you watch Last Holiday with Queen
I did. I don't
Latifah?
think that's what it was,
He was
but
in American Horror Story, apparently.
oh, maybe that's what I know because I did recently watch that over.
Ring of Fire. He was in
What's
American
Ring of
Psycho.
Fire? No way.
Oh, well, yeah, I have seen him in that. All right, we'll jump to now
Do we have to?
the 2002 sequel,
Do we have to? Okay.
starring Mila Kuner.
There it is. Okay,
It was
so
Mila
let's
Kuner.
start off with this,
Yeah.
where Christian Bale had the perfect voiceover narration. Mila Kunis and Joey and I are talking. It's Meg reading it.
That's
It's just
all.
Meg.
When she started talking, all I heard was Meg
And
from Family
it
Guy.
is because it
Yeah.
just sounds like somebody that's bored that's reading through a list of things, as opposed to somebody who is, because like Patrick Bateman, like Christian Bale was like like this was he wanted you to know his routine. He wanted you to know what was going on because it was important to him. And it was really important that you understood exactly where he stood and where he came from for those things. And then she's just like, and her voice is so fucking
I
annoying.
mean, let's let Chuck read the storyline because I want to
Oh,
get
the
into it because
synopsis.
there's some really dumb things in this one.
Rachel Newman has developed an interest in murders after encountering psychopath Patrick Bateman. I've already got issues right there.
Same, but let's go. Continue.
To further study the subject, she enrolls in the University Department of Behavioral and Social Sciences under the expert leadership of former FBI agent Robert Starkman, played by William Shatner. I was furious when I heard his voice. Very certain about herself, Rachel has one single goal: to become Starkman's teaching assistant. A prestigious job, having that position will almost guarantee employment to the FBI. But becoming her professor's assistant is no easy task. The first trouble arise when security Greta Feck decides that she's too young for it.
Secretary.
I'm sorry, did I say, what did I say? Se
Security
security?
something, yeah.
Secretary. In fact, won't be the only obstacle. There are three other people. There's students involved in that. Yeah. Joey, if you want to just machine gun your feelings,
All
go
right,
right ahead, buddy.
so. Biggest thing is you brought up with Patrick Bateman there at the beginning. For kid, okay, so he's killing kids, which is sure, whatever, but the whole thing, and they go into it when she actually does the whole big reveal, but what the fuck?
No,
sorry,
see,
my thoughts are going everywhere here.
but here's the thing, I don't think that he would have tried to have killed her babysitter if she was there.
Well, that's the thing though.
Because like he was
So the
usually fairly
babysitter.
thorough about that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, but by the end of the first movie, he allegedly got away with everything.
Yeah, that's
Got away
true.
with killing everything.
Because it was all in his head.
Maybe, possibly. Allegedly. Yeah, right. So if he's actually this killer, this actually killing people, first off, how do they know he's this killer?
Because he told
Okay.
his told a psychiatrist about it.
Who Did he actually? Okay, then did he actually kill all these people?
Yeah.
Because apparently he didn't. Well, he went to the apartment and nobody is there. There's no. Well,
not to mention anywhere. That, but then the one dude was talking about how he actually did see Alan in London and had dinner with him. In London,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, what's reality?
Yeah.
So, okay, so Patrick Bateman is killing this babysitter. Rachel Newman, air quotes, is breaks herself out of this duct tape that she was taped to this chair, kills Bateman, and then makes it look like he killed himself or something.
No. Walks out. Nobody knew who killed him. She just disappeared, and nobody had any link between her and her babysitter.
Oh, okay. Because
the babysitter sense. That was dating the FBI agent,
which knew all about Patrick Bateman,
because she read his case file.
Again, where was this?
How did they know about Patrick Bateman? That was my first problem with the movie, was because I thought it was all in his head at the end of that first movie. But then this one was like, well, we have to tie it in there somehow. Like, they could have made this not include him at all.
Exactly.
This could have been its own separate thing, and they could have gotten
it about any serial killer. Like, just don't bring Bateman.
It wouldn't even have had to have been a serial killer. Like, it could have just been, you know.
Well, the serial killer element makes sense.
She could have just been obsessed with serial killers in general, though.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
she could have just been obsessed with Patrick Bateman's story. Like, they could have rewrote the whole thing where he did finally get caught, right? And he had murdered all of these people.
That would work too.
Or maybe his first murder.
And so, and what would have made the most sense is she became an obsessed fan of his. So much so that she wanted to be the person who then catches the next one, right? You can still keep the plot. You can still keep the plot, but she was so fascinated. Do it like every other fucking person who listens to a real true life crime podcast, who becomes overly obsessed with the thing that they're doing, so much so that she loses grip on reality.
Yeah,
and then becomes the thing that she was trying to stop.
Yep.
Right, and which is essentially what this was. But wow, they did a really fucking bad job with it.
What really gets me is when she starts killing the people in her way to become the teacher's assistant. She starts killing them, and it's not like she's being
sneaky about it or anything.
Sneaky about it. Yeah. She's not hiding the bodies anywhere.
No, not at all. Like, she literally left that dude in the freaking library.
Yes. But when they find, and like the secretary in her house, but when they find the bodies, they reveal it like, oh, they found all the bodies
at the same
after
time
she died.
Yeah.
It's like, it's been like a week.
Sometimes more than that. Yeah.
So they just happened to look in the library and found what's his name. Oh, they happened to find the other guy.
Well,
the
first guy she killed. She stabbed him with an ice pick. Do you know how much blood would have been everywhere in that library? There's no way it wouldn't have started smelling. B, somebody wouldn't have noticed, because it's not like there was no way he was back in some part of the stacks.
There's cleaners.
Yeah.
There's still people who are like, there's maintenance guys. Just because they were on break doesn't mean everybody's on break.
Yeah. Right.
Just the students. Administration, as a guy who works at a college, still has to fucking show up every day.
But they're on break, like, 3 days after she had killed him.
Yeah.
And that's like 4 days after she had killed her friend, and 2 days after she had already killed the other guy. Like, she's already killed like 8 people by the time break starts.
And there's no way that they would have went that long without that rich kid being noticed that he was gone.
Right.
Yeah.
He
would have been noticed within 24 hours.
His parents would have been fucking watching him like a hawk all
the time. 100%. And they would
especially his mom,
and they would have pulled up the video of him going to the restaurant, you know, and
seeing who he was with.
Now, if I told you guys that this was classified as a dark comedy, would that change anything in your brain?
Okay, maybe a little bit, but only a little bit, because I also they should have had a better lead actor for this. Because Mila
Kunis, they should not have had Meg.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should not have
Kunis. She has no, like, this whole movie, she has no expression or anything. Like, she, like, you don't get any read from her because it's just bland. It's just, this is just Jackie from That 70s Show, but
yeah,
with a,
this felt
actually killing.
This felt like the scary movie version,
yes,
of American Psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not enjoy that.
The other thing that got me was, so they do the opening scene, well, not the opening scene, but the first scene in the classroom, and she's talking with the professor, with Shatner's character. And then later on, they're back in the classroom and they're talking again. Everybody's in the same clothes. They literally filmed this scene back to back.
And didn't change.
Or filmed a long scene and just cut it up and put it in two different parts of the movie. And I'm like, I actually stopped my, because she's wearing the same outfit, and I had to look in the character's back, you know, in the background, and I rewound to the beginning and I looked at it again and I'm like, you fucking idiots. You stupid motherfucker.
Well, look, it's not like they had a big budget for this thing, probably.
Well, yeah, they had to pay Shatner. He was the only big name person.
And you know what? Well, Shatner might have been the best actor in this movie, and it pains me to say that.
But Mila Kunis was on, you know, That 70s Show in like year two, so like that show was getting big. So she was an up and coming. She wasn't Shatner level of money, sure, but like she was getting the popularity.
2002, that show started in 98.
Oh, so then she's definitely popular. So that's like year four or five.
Yeah, year four or five, and Family Guy's about to get relit.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, something like that, so yeah. Apparently she found enough time to do this fucking movie.
Family Guy wasn't out yet, was it?
No, Family Guy came out in 2000.
Oh.
And they got canceled in 2002.
It got canceled in 2002, 2001, right.
It was 98 it started. Wait, I don't remember anymore. Because she was... Hold on. I think she started doing Family Guy in 99.
She replaces somebody.
So Family Guy started in 97 or 98. Mm-hmm. And she started in like season two or season three.
Right.
She replaced that one girl that was in Lost in Space. The little vapid girl, Penny.
Lacey?
Yeah, wasn't that Chabot, who originally voiced
Meg? I believe so, yeah.
Was it? I thought it was legitimately Seth MacFarlane's daughter, because they just didn't have the budget to like hire a big-name person. That's why like Seth does the majority of his own.
That's Trey Parker's daughter in South Park that voices characters.
That's true, yeah. Does the Canadians?
Well, she does Ike, the baby. So technically the Canadian, baby, yeah.
Yeah, Canadian, yeah. Literally doesn't make any goddamn sense.
It's hilarious, though. Especially if you've ever seen, like, when they record the voice lines, like, they have, like, videos of them in the sound booth, and he's trying to convince her to say these things, and, like, she's just a little kid.
It's okay. Yeah.
It's adorable. What'd you find out, Joey?
I'm still looking.
Oh.
Hold on.
Any other thoughts outside of
how does she have enough time?
You're right, it is Penny from Lost in Space.
Enough time at the end of the movie to get Shatner out of the car, propped against there, get the car back into the woods,
right,
get the girl into the front seat, the dead body into the front seat, brick the thing. By the time that they get a half mile down the road, when they left 3 seconds after she did,
because they realized that they were running out of time for the movie because they had too much bullshit. All right, we gotta wrap this shit up quick.
They only had a 90-minute timeline. They're like, oh wait, we gotta, like, but that was, she was gonna do this regardless. Like,
yeah,
she had planned that.
But like, but that's the thing though, is like, and if she was supposed to be as smart as she is, supposedly.
Which apparently she is.
she would have not swerved at a cop car on her way out of the campus to begin with. You know?
Well, but it's to get the... It was to draw them to her. It was to get somebody to see it. It was to get somebody to follow so that it would get the attention to see them, to find the body, to identify it. It was basically to get it so that, oh, hey, Rachel Newman killed herself.
But see, the cops weren't part of that plan. Her plan was, because she had Rachel Newman in the car. She had Shitner in the car. She was going to drive off that cliff anyways.
Regardless, yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is...
They would have found the body.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the way that she did it with the cops chasing her made no sense whatsoever. Like, that part of the movie had no reason to be there. It was for suspense.
Well, sure. Did either one of you suspect that she was not who she said she was before the reveal?
Yes, because when she said she wanted to be Elizabeth McGuire, I was trying to figure out if Lizzie McGuire had been out by this time or not, like that show on Disney or whatever. And then I was,
it would have been, yeah, I think it was.
And then I was like, well, no, because if like for their timeline. And then I realized, no, it probably wouldn't have been. So when she said she wanted to be somebody else, because she's supposed to be like Patrick Bateman, the only person that he had any import for was himself. So I was like, I wonder if Elizabeth McGuire is like her alternate ID. Like, I thought maybe that was like her, like the crazy part of her that was killing people.
I mean, she said who Elizabeth McGuire was.
I know, but like, it didn't make sense at that point in time. I was thinking that like, it was, you know, part of her psychosis.
Gotcha.
But
I just had a thought left my brain. Never mind.
I saw it actually flutter out.
I'd say once the psychiatrist came up to her at the restaurant and called her Newman, and the mom said something, I'm like, oh wait, like I picked it up then. But
see, I thought that was another whole Bateman thing with like how
they were trying to lean into like we're trying to do American Psycho 2, but they like it doesn't work. It didn't land like
especially because she is just
it landed in a fiery obvious. Ball like the car.
Her just being like I don't know.
And then her straight up walking up to the psychiatrist and talking to him. Like, there's no way. No way.
Yeah, like, dyed her hair slightly different and wore glasses. And he's just like, do I know you? This can't be real. Like,
also, the guy's terrible at signing because he literally just signed her name. He didn't sign his name at all. He just signed her name and gave it back to her. Gave the book back to her. Like,
yeah, he's really bad at that. Yeah. It's kind of like when Maddie Matheson, when you get a signed book from him, all he writes is an M on the inside of it. That's it.
Really?
Who's that?
And you paid 50. He's a chef, a celebrity chef.
Oh, okay.
He just writes an M.
Maybe he doesn't know how to spell his name.
Oh,
it's very possible. He also, I did meet Aaron McCargo one time who wrote, what the fuck do you say? Keep on Burning. That's what he wrote, Keep on Burning, Aaron McCargo. And I'm like, have you ever said that to anybody in the history of the world? Or is this like a new catchphrase you're trying to get going? Another celebrity show.
Okay, so hey, get this. So I'm looking at IMDb.
Yeah.
And the film began production with no association to American Psycho. And it wasn't decided to repurpose, until it had already started filming. Bret Easton Ellis, the author of the original novel, claims the studio wanted to include a serial killer subplot in The Rules of Attraction in 2002, but the filmmakers objected to the idea, leading to this film. So this wasn't supposed to be American Psycho 2. This is supposed to be something different.
That makes a lot of sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right? Yeah.
It also would explain why they couldn't get Christian Bale's
like face. This at all? Yeah.
Yeah, at all. Like the photo that they use in the FBI is like just some random fucking
I
dude.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Well, was, because especially when he's killing the babysitter, he's got the ice pack on and a vest. Like a, yeah. like a not the raincoat. It's like a
Tyvek suit.
Like
yeah.
Like
what? Also, him killing the babysitter doesn't fit the profile of Patrick Bateman at all.
The babysitter sought him out allegedly mm-hmm. again
yeah.
because she was fucking Shatner and she wanted to prove something. Makes no sense.
And it wouldn't have made she wouldn't have fit the type.
No,
that he would blonde. Have.
But
yeah,
this was also she was supposed to be.
She wasn't blonde. She had no. She wasn't a someone that he could buy,
yep.
right? Because like he seemed to only target women who, right, like prostitutes or escorts. When it came to women that he didn't want to have relationship with, right? Just seemingly just wanted to have sex with. He was purchasing them to have a level of like power. Mm-hmm. But like otherwise,
well, maybe he changed.
She didn't come from any sort.
Maybe he changed his motif over 10 years.
But I don't. But he doesn't seem like a guy who
he
would.
He wouldn't have. That's exactly. Yeah. He has a routine in the morning. He would not have changed how he.
Right. He would not targeting who he wants. Right. His whole idea is he wants to fit in.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Real bad. All right, boys. Let's go to scores. First one. Ron, what do you give it out of 10, as we all know?
So, I liked it. It was pretty good. Like, I mean, it's not the greatest movie I've ever seen, but Christian Bale can play really good, like, a scary good sociopath. Like, it makes me kind of wonder if maybe, you know, like...
A little true to life.
Yeah, there. Yeah. Like, maybe there's something to it, you know? Like, he finally got to, like...
Well, you know he yelled at people on Terminator Salvation,
yes,
you know?
He did. Yes, he did. So I think honestly, I think this is the role that got him Batman. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure this
fair.
Role
he probably had to kill somebody to get it, but he got the role.
I mean, look.
No, but like it was good. Like it was a pretty good movie. It was my first time seeing it, and seeing all the memes and like knowing like what it is and what's going on didn't change the fact that it was still fun to watch. I'm gonna say, I mean, it's not like I'm gonna be like, oh, you know, I'm gonna turn off this and watch it again. I'm gonna watch Star Trek after this, but. but like it wasn't bad. Like it was a pretty good movie, and he did a really good job with it, I think. And they did like a pretty good job of like the psychological part of like, is this happening? Is he imagining all this shit? The end of it, you know, like threw me for a loop. I'm gonna say 6.13.
Okay. Joey,
this movie was good. I really enjoyed. What I saw, and you know, hype kind of sticks it. Like, this is definitely a movie that now that I've seen it, I wouldn't mind watching it again. I don't know, it's not one that I'll be putting on all the time, mm-hmm. but it's definitely one that if somebody has it on or if somebody hasn't seen it, I would sit down and watch it with them.
It would be good for a party with your friends, you know.
It would be, it'd be fun to put on and watch and have people just kind of sit there and. You know, hang out and watch it with them. But I'm kind of right there with you. I'd probably give it this is like a 6.27 for me. This was kind of a fun movie. I enjoyed it.
Crazy. Okay. I love this movie. I think that it's really well put together. It's not a movie that I'm going to watch every couple of years.
First viewing. Where do you give us?
Right. I think I would almost debate. If you guys watch this a year from now, your score would be higher.
That's what exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That being said, for me, this is my second watch. Because I knew of all the things to kind of look for, I had one of those like, oh, this is the part moments. Mm-hmm. Does it pass the Gennaro continuum? I don't think I would put this on and make fun of it with my friends. I think we would all sit in silence and try to like dissect it. So I don't know technically if it passes the Gennaro continuum, because I don't want to make fun of this. I actually want to sit down and I want to absorb the thing I'm watching and see if I get new ideas from the movie.
Oh shit! That's terrifying.
So I unfortunately score it way higher than you two. I scored it at an 8.1.
Nice.
Which gives it a total score of a 6.3. I'm sorry, 6.83. Which puts it, I think, in a fair spot. IMDb had this ranked at a 7.6. I'm actually surprised it's not higher on IMDb with how high people hold this movie. I thought a 7.6 is actually pretty low. And we essentially score it lower than that. So,
well, and again, first time viewers for two of us. I think if we had watched it a few more times, like you said, we pick out new things and things that we enjoy with it coming back to it. The enjoyment would be, we would enjoy it more the more we watch it.
Yeah.
Very true.
Similar to me with, you know, a certain movie.
Yeah. No, anyway. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the second movie, Ronald.
Okay. So one other thing that we didn't cover, which I feel like is a travesty, there is a whole lot of nudity in the first one.
Yes.
A lot of it. And I appreciate that. It makes for a compelling story, you know, when you know, you get to see nudity. In the second one, that would have been the only thing to save the score, is if there would have been some nudity. But
even the kills aren't violent.
No, they're at all. Like there's
you don't see them.
No,
everything's off screen.
They didn't even do like the blood splatter like on her, you know, like if they would have given us that iconic, like that axe, you know, splat like across her face, that would have been something. That would have been a cheap pop that I'd have been like, oh, look, it's a callback to the first movie. But we got nothing like that. But
I did laugh when she saw the janitor like, hey, nice mop. And then you see him in the trash can with the mop through his head. But
which also no way that would have. She's not strong enough to do that.
Well, no, but I did get a chuckle out of it.
I mean, that's fair. Or the security guard with his hand posted up to the...
Exactly, yeah. Again, she can't... There's no way.
Yeah.
But whatever. What are you going to do?
But I gave this a 1.68.
That's fair.
Because it was just like... It had a bad storyline. It had bad acting. When you're like... out of the gate, best actor is William Shatner. You know you're scraping the bottom of the shit barrel right there, is all I'm saying.
I mean, William Shatner
he's not.
Okay.
He's a terrible actor. Dude has never been able to act in his entire life. I don't know.
I think he works well in this when you remember that this was supposed to be somewhat of a dark comedy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why Shatner works, because, you know, he's the only one there that had acting chops, and that's something I hate saying. It actually leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But it wasn't even fun to watch. Like, this isn't even like, if somebody else would have been here watching it with me, it might have been a little bit better, but I watched it by myself and I'm just sitting here like, I could be doing other things right now. I mean, I was kind of doing other things while I was watching it, but like, I was still trying to pay attention because I was like, well, maybe something's gonna happen, or you know, like. But no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going on my phone almost the entire time.
Sure. Yeah, I made sticky toffee pudding while it was on in the background, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, no, this movie is not great. There's literally no redeeming qualities. The whole people being killed off and them not finding anything until the end,
and like, not even noticing that they weren't in class and stuff.
Well, no, yeah, right there they filed a missing persons report on the secretary, but then found her body later. Again, the body was at the house.
Yeah, didn't even go to check the house,
but the she was missing. Whatever, I don't know. Movie's bad. Movie's terrible. 1.5.
Wow, crazy. Usually I'm the one who gives these terrible scores. Look, I didn't love this. I thought it was silly. I thought it was supposed to be a made for TV scary movie version of American Psycho. That's what it felt like.
I do think it was direct DVD. I don't think it actually went to theaters.
I would
make sense. Yeah, it would make sense if it was a direct DVD. That being said, Mila Kunis is my least favorite thing about that 70s show. She plays a very hateable character in Family Guy. I don't think she was the person for this role. And I think that that really makes it fall apart a lot. Also, they could like it does feel like this wasn't a movie designed to be a sequel. It was supposed to be a standalone movie.
Yeah,
that's what it should have been. They shouldn't have tied it. They reference Ed Gein like a gajillion times in this movie. Just make it Ed Gein. Make it a real serial killer or something. You know what I mean? That being said, I had enough fun with it. I would put this on and make fun of it with my friends.
But that's fair. Yes.
None of us are going to have a good time at it. You know what I mean? Like we are very, maybe 10 minutes in we're tapping out and like eating chips.
That's
and
where
talking
you're wrong.
And,
what you do is before they come over, right? You make a cutout of Meg's clothes and then you just hold them up on the screen in front of Mila Kunis every time she's on screen. The time.
Or you tape it onto the TV and anytime somebody lines up, you like drink or I don't know.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good way to get drunk real fast.
Yeah.
That being said, I give it a 2.9. It was fine. Yeah, I was surprised I scored it higher than you guys. Which gives us a total score of 2.02. IMDb ranked this at a 3.7.
Yeah, which is why you can
which
trust
I find,
IMDb. Oh.
Which I am surprised. There must be people who scored this higher because they just wanted to have fun with it. Okay, fine.
It's the Cooter heads, Mila Kunis heads.
Yeah, it's the Mila Kunis heads. Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, it looks like somebody gave it a 10. Who the hell gave it a 10?
Mila Kunis.
That's somebody. Yeah, probably.
William
Shatner going in and just automatically giving all of his movies a 10 would make a lot of sense.
That would track.
Here's somebody who gave it a 7. Let me read this for you. I actually really like this. Hey, man, I think this movie gets bad press when it's actually quite a clever follow-on to one of my favorite horror thrillers. I am biased because long before the films were about, I was a huge fan of Easton Ellis's book and so probably saw the first movie through rose-tinted glasses. However, I found the lead in this curiously cute/deadly. Did anyone else think she looked a lot like ex-Sunset Beach babe Susan Ward? And well cast. The plot was easy enough to follow, but held my attention and climaxed in a clever and twisting finale. Not as good as the first, I have to say, but interesting, enjoyable, and much better than expected it to be.
That was a paid.
You know what the crazy part is I definitely probably dated somebody who would watch this movie and say the same exact thing. I don't think she would have scored it high as a 7, but she definitely would have said all of those things to try to stay positive around a movie that everybody hates.
There's a couple of 8s in here.
Ooh, that's crazy. All right.
Okay.
All right. That being said, boys, the last part, as we all know, Patrick Bateman, bad guy or justified?
Okay. So here I have this. Okay. I have this intrinsic problem with this because he is killing a lot of rich people in this.
Is he though? I saw him killing a lot more hookers.
I guess that's true. I was thinking of Alan.
I'm sorry. Lays of Night.
Joey said,
That's how angry he is as he says hooker.
No, but he is definitely a bad guy. Like, especially the one
I think he's a bad person.
That he hires him twice.
But is he justified, though?
No. Not the only kill he would have been justified in would have been if he would have actually killed Alan or any of his other colleagues.
Yeah, mental illness is not an excuse to be able to do bad things to people.
Right, or I'd be killing people all the time.
Yeah, that's not okay.
I did go into work on Thursday and shoot the place up with my Nerf gun, and that was very therapeutic. Simon got me this drum
allegedly
Nerf gun, and I just went into work and I was like. Very therapeutic. I would recommend doing it for everybody.
Feel like I might get in trouble if I did that.
Allegedly.
Yeah, Bateman's a bad guy.
Definitely yeah, bad Bateman's guy. Definitely a bad guy. Newman.
No,
bad
McGuire.
Guy or Justify?
Newman, McGuire, wherever his original name is.
Bad.
Cunis.
Mil Cunis?
Cunir? Absolutely bad. Like, no justification whatsoever. Because she is sitting here talking, like, all high and mighty at the beginning, like, oh, yeah, I killed a serial killer, so now I want to get into it so I can continue killing right. serial killers. And then she just becomes a serial killer.
Yeah, and just starts killing people because she wants to become a TA.
But she doesn't even want to become a TA because she's already got the job. She was already a TA.
She wasn't. She had to kill to then become the TA, but then the TA position never got filled because she killed the girlfriend of Shatner, and then he went on vacation early.
But no. See what you're missing.
She didn't kill McGuire till later. Till she killed Shatner. Because McGuire had already left to go to McGuire was the original TA for Shatner.
Yeah.
And then she had gotten the job to go to the FBI. So that's why they were filling the TA position. So then, now that McGuire's gone, she wanted to become TA. Now that the TA position is not available, her next step is just to kill McGuire to get that job. The end goal was to get into the FBI, to get into Quantico.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, she wouldn't have been getting in there anyways. Because she's a serial killer.
Apparently she was good enough that nobody knew. So
it's a movie, a very bad movie. Where she left evidence at every crime scene that would have linked her personally, not this Rachel Newman.
Right.
But she
Which wasn't even her. It was the person that she killed to be able to get into the school.
Yeah. But apparently she didn't. Because nobody knew. Because she's that good of a serial killer.
Except for if you went and checked that room, there would have been dead bodies fucking everywhere.
Yeah, what's his name came in and didn't smell the dead body in there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you know, it was in a wardrobe bag, so it was keeping the whole smell in there, because...
Okay.
Yeah.
Except for one was open.
Yeah.
Because it was trying to sneak out. And her parents said that it smelled.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, she wasn't justified. And also, she's a bad person who made a bad movie.
Yep.
Damn you, Cunis. That being said, hey, welcome to the end of season one.
Woohoo!
Woo! Chuck. Hey, I'm glad I got to be here to the end of this.
We have finally done it. We watched 12 months worth.
24
movies. My theory in the beginning was that we were going to score the latest higher than the greatest. And looking at our scores, yeah, we kind of did.
Really?
There are a few, like House on Haunted Hill, you scored higher than I did because you liked it a lot better.
I loved the original more than the remake. Yeah.
But for the most part, you and I really kind of liked the sequels better. I look at like Evil Dead, we like the sequels a lot better than what the IMDb's scored. Candyman, we liked them a lot better.
Candyman was a good sequel.
Suspiria, we did not. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, which and Papa the Slayer Man, we scored higher. Not Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh was 2.9. We gave it a 2.43 with Ron. Popeye the Slayer Man, though, we definitely scored higher. Hellraiser.
Popeye. Hellraiser was great. That sequel was great.
Yeah, that sequel was like way better. I think the theory is that the remakes actually, maybe it's because it's for the most part the versions that we actually saw. Were a lot better than the originals, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think Dawn of the Dead is the best example of that. You and I struggled to get through the first one, and they scored it a 7.8, and we gave the second one like an 8.5.
Yeah.
And it was scored at 7.3. So, and we tanked. We gave it a 5.8 for the original. So
there were, you also got to remember that, like, you're on IMDb for that kind of stuff. You've got those people that are like, oh, well, this is what gave us the zombie franchise, or, you know, like, this is what did. So they're going to give it a higher score because of those kind of reasons. It's not because of the actual entertainment value of.
No, a bunch of people can be objectively wrong, Ron. Like, it's well documented on this that we say that the majority of people are actually quite wrong. That brings us to season two, boys. We are loading up, getting ready to go. We're going to change it up a little bit. We're not going to do horror movies. We may not even stick to movies in general.
Oh.
But our first dive. Oh, I'm struggling to decide what I want to do. So, Joey, I'm going to give you a choice. We can either do a feature of an actor or creator. Something I'm going to introduce in season two later on is we're going to pick one section a year. We may select not necessarily a franchise based around movies, but based around a actor or creator.
Okay.
We are going to do so either that we could do something that would bring Ron back in. Or something real stupid. Your choice,
man.
Well, we just had something stupid with
with Ron. Something stupid with Ron, nonetheless.
Well, yeah, with Ron. Yeah. Let's go with that first one for right now. I'll give Ron a break for right now. We'll bring Ron in for later.
We'll bring you on later. We'll bring you on later. I think we'll need a palate cleanser in a couple months.
Yeah, to be honest with you.
So we're going to watch two movies that I've never watched before, but I'm constantly told that they are amazing.
Oh, no.
Okay.
We are going to be watching The Labyrinth and Dark Crystal.
Oh.
Okay.
Jim Henson classics.
Yes.
Yeah. Jim Henson will be the highlight person. I've never watched The Labyrinth, and yet it has been ranked among girls that I have tried to date as their second favorite movie of all time.
So I've never seen Dark Crystal.
Oh, really?
To see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen Dark Crystal, but I am regularly told this is like a great reference point if you love Dungeons and Dragons. So
I don't see that, but.
Listen, dude, I don't know. This is what people tell me. They're like, oh, yeah. Dungeons and Dragons, it's like Dark Crystal. I'm like,
those people are high or something.
On drugs?
Yeah
probably.
That too.
Because there's not correlated.
I'm interested to see it. I don't know how I'm going to feel about double puppet movies, but we'll figure it out. I'm also not a big Bowie fan.
Really? Interesting.
Well, yeah, I'm not a big Bowie guy.
You better get used to some big Bowie because...
It's just all there.
From what I've been told.
Doesn't
he like try to bang like a 14-year-old in this?
I mean, probably. Yeah. But no, yeah. But...
So it's Jeffrey Conley, so like I would too.
No, Joey, no. Oh, no. Joey did not mean that.
Not at 14, Joey! Not at 14!
Oh.
Take it back, Joey.
Adult Jennifer Connelly, yes.
Yeah. That's what I meant. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good thing Joey edits.
That being said.
Exactly. Edit that shit out. You guys won't even know who's there.
Oh, we'll know.
He's gonna forget. Don't worry.
I actually
that
edit,
being so. Said. That being said. Till next time, consider yourself franchised.